to his commandments, how they are good for us, they're a protection for us. And now Paul takes some time in this next section before we get to the very well-known rapture section next week to give us some practical applications of this great truth, our sanctification, what that means practically. We all understand sanctification is to be set aside and set apart for God's work, but Paul gives us some very practical ways that we can be sanctified for the Lord. So beginning in verse 3 here, chapter 4, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man should go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing." So sanctification and honor, that's our title tonight. Lord, use your word in our hearts to teach us. Lord, we want to honor you with our walk. And I pray that as we look at these practical applications, that we would look into our own hearts, our own lives, and Lord, make sure we are walking as you would have us to. And Lord, the Holy Spirit would be in control, and that we would be changed through the power of your word tonight, and that Jesus would be lifted up and magnified. We ask this in his precious name. Amen. This is the will of God. We don't see that phrase a lot in the New Testament, but when we do, we need to sit up and take notice. Amen? This is the will of God. Well, what is the will of God? These verses, chapters 4, verses 3 to 12. This is the will of God for Christians. It's our sanctification. It is honor, as it says there in verse 4. This is the will of God. Now, we see that phrase sometimes, don't we, like Romans chapter 12? At the end of verse 2, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ephesians 5:17, understanding what the will of the Lord is and so forth. But God's will is that we be sanctified. Now, we already are doctrinally, but that's not what he's talking about in this passage, is it? He's talking about us making the right choices as God's children to live a sanctified life. Those are two different things. Doctrinally, we're already set apart. We're going to heaven. The devil can't change that. Hallelujah. But on a practical level, we make choices every day how to live, whether to sin or not to sin, whether to please God or not to please God. And that's what Paul is focusing on in this passage. He wants us to live a Christian life of sanctification and honor. And he gives us, I know there's a lot of points tonight, there's 10 points. That happens sometimes. He gives us 10 practical ways that we can live a Christian life of sanctification and honor. Interesting, the first one, abstain from fornication. Fornication used to be actually illegal in most cultures a couple centuries ago. Now it's so commonplace in our culture that people don't even think twice about it, do they? But it's in God's Word. And God's Word never changes. And God knows what we're made of. And he knows where we're weak. And as God, well, look at 1 Corinthians 6:18. It's a unique sin. You know, I know we say many times God does not rate sin, and he doesn't. But he does tell us that fornication is a unique sin. In what way? Well, I'm glad you asked. It says here in 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So that's what makes it unique, is it is a violation of God's miraculous and beautiful one flesh concept. And 1 Corinthians 6 explains all that if you want to do your own study. But for us in modern day, it's essentially having relations outside of marriage, which is still a sin with God, our Creator. And he starts there. If you want to live a life of sanctification and honor for the Lord Jesus Christ, flee fornication. Abstain from it. The second one is similar, isn't it? Verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence. Now, that's a word we don't use today. It essentially means forbidden, the forbidden lust, the lust of the forbidden, which is what the devil's always trying to put before us. He started in the garden, didn't he? The only thing he tempted Eve with was the only thing that was forbidden, which was the fruit of that one tree. There was so much available, but he tempted them with that one thing. And that is what he's still doing. He tempts us with the forbidden. But that's the lust of concupiscence. And God says that this is a war, if you look at 1 Peter 2:11, that we all fight. This war of lust in our flesh. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So here God tells us that lust wars against the soul. And if you've been saved for longer than a couple days, you know that's true. So if we're going to live a life of sanctification and honor, abstain from fornication, abstain from lust. What's the next one, verse 6? Honesty with Christians. He says that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. In other words, that you never do anything to cheat or defraud your brother in Christ. If you do, then that's not honorable. And you're definitely not living a life of sanctification. 1 Corinthians 6:8, notice if you would, there Paul is rebuking the Corinthians for this very sin. 1 Corinthians 6:8, it's the chapter that says we shouldn't take Christians to court. But look at the context, 1 Corinthians 6:8. Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. So Paul says you're not only defrauding, but you're defrauding your own brothers in Christ. And if we're going to live a life of sanctification and honor, we will not do this. We will not defraud our brothers and sisters in Christ. Next, verse 7. God hath not called us unto uncleanness. Uncleanness, which that's a big calling considering how unclean this world is and that we have to live in it every day. You look at Ephesians 4:19, if you would. But to do our best to live a life of uncleanness. Verse 7, what is it? Holiness. That's the alternative. Notice Ephesians 4:19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. So as he says there in verse 7, what's the opposite of uncleanness? Holiness. So to live a life of holiness. But as he which hath called you as holy, so be ye holy. Amen. 1 Peter 1. For I am holy, God said. I didn't number these. So what are we up to? Fornication is 1, lust is 2, defraud your brothers 3, and uncleanness is 4. All right, number 5. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. God says that when we hate our brother, we are lying when we say that we love God. He tells us that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar, God says. Jesus said if we hate our brother, it's equivalent to committing murder in our hearts. And we're told in Titus 3:2 to speak evil of no man. And of course, the alternative there is verse 9. We're told to love one another. Amen? That's one of the foundational outgrowths of Christianity, Jesus said. By this shall all men know that you are our disciples if you have love one to another. And Paul says there in verse 10, and not only do I want you to love one another, but I want it to increase more and more. There at the end of verse 10. So that we love and not despise one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 is a very interesting verse. It's got three unique commandments in it. Remember when we did our study on the 150 commandments? Three of them were in this verse. So let's get them. So number six is that we study to be quiet. How about that one? It's not something we think about very often, is it? But we are commanded, if we're going to live a life of sanctification and honor, a life of holiness, a life that pleases God, God wants us to be quiet. Now, do you think he means by that we don't talk? No. But he's talking about not living a loud life, but a quiet life. Amen? Now, there is an aspect of people that are just too loud, and that counts, of course. But he's telling us he wants us to live a life of quietness, of peace, and non-loudness, if you will. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:12, where he repeats this command. 2 Thessalonians 3:12. Now them that are such as we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. So again, quietness. Are we told to be meek in the scriptures? Absolutely. Jesus was meek and lowly in heart, the Bible says in Matthew 11. So number six is we're to be quiet. That's a command we just don't hear very often. So the next time when we tell our kids to be quiet, we're actually just following the scriptures. Amen? I love it. All right, and then also in verse 11, do your own business. Another very unique commandment. Do your own business. Look at 1 Peter 4:15. In other words, keep your nose out of other people's business. Which, let's face it, we're often tempted to do that, aren't we? Stick our nose in other people's business. But God says here in 1 Peter 4:15, and you know, we're not even looking at Old Testament. We're looking at New Testament commandments. What's it say? Let none of us suffer as a murderer. Oh, God forbid that any of us would be a murderer. Or a thief. God forbid that we would ever be a thief. Or an evildoer. God forbid that we would ever be an evildoer. But, and then what goes on to say, a busybody. Same verse. Remember we talked about how we don't rate sin? God's put murder and theft in the same verse as being a busybody in other men's matters. But let's face it, we look at them differently. We look at murder and theft as like really bad, bad sins. And we think of a busybody, well, some people are just busybodies. Well, if they are, they're sinning. Because it's wrong. So, that we study to be quiet, that we do our own business. And the third unique commandment in this verse is to work with our own hands. In other words, we're to work. God made us to work. He designed us to work. That's just how it's supposed to be. Nowhere in scriptures are we told that we're to be lazy or that we're to sit back and let other people work for us. We are to work. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, turn over there. think that's the right reference. I forgot to put it in here. Yes, the anti-socialism verse. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. That's in God's word, written by our Creator, isn't it? Work with your own hands. We're told in Romans 12:11 to be not slothful in business. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. God designed us to work. Work is a good thing, and we're to work. I don't know what number that was. It must have been 9. Was that 9? Whoever? That was 8? Uh-oh. Because I said there were 10, and it must only have been 9. All right, let's review here. So fornication is 1. Lust is 2. Defrauding is 3. Uncleanness is 4. Despising is 5. Quiet, 6. Do your own business, 7. And work with your own hands, 8. I guess there's only 9. Sorry about that. Thank you for keeping track. What's the last one? So we already saw that we were to not defraud our brother, which means we're to be honest with our Christian brothers and sisters. Amen? But then he finishes with 12 by saying, walk honestly toward them that are without. So not only are we supposed to be honest with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're also to always be honest with the world, with the lost. Well, the worst things you could ever hear from an employer is that he has a dishonest Christian working for him. Or a business person saying that I've dealt with a dishonest Christian business person. That's terrible. That's a horrible testimony. Christians should always be known as those who are always honest in everything. No exceptions. Romans 12:17. Turn over there. So I told you there were 10. There's actually 9 points. 9 ways that we can practically, as you can see, these are super practical, that we can practically live a life of sanctification and honor, that we might walk a walk that is pleasing unto the Lord. Romans 12:17, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. That would include the lost. So if we're going to live a life of sanctification and honor, God's given us some very practical ways to do that in this passage. And then, as we mentioned last week, every chapter in this book talks about the second coming of Jesus. And as you know, the end of this chapter is the beautiful rapture chapter, rapture section. Can't wait to get to it next week. But for this week, first part, obedience to the commandments is good for us. The second part, God wants us to live a life of sanctification. In other words, that we acknowledge that we have been set aside by God as special, but we've been set aside to work and serve Him. Amen? And therefore, we must be a reflection of Him, that we are His children, and we must act like it and live a life of sanctification and honor. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word and for speaking to us about these 9 areas tonight. I pray that we'll take them on board with the help of the Holy Spirit and, Lord, seek to live this kind of life for you, one of sanctification and honor. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you in Christ's name. Amen.